Blog Talk Radio. From the demons of Mexico to the devils of Washington, and broadcasting from a small adobe church somewhere in southern New Mexico. Kelly O'Connell here. Good morning. It is this 22nd day of June and 2015. It is a little bit warm outside. We've gotten to that time of the year, gang, when it's warm pretty much all day long, even at night, so even in the morning. 74 degrees right now. It's going to be a high today of 102, and then it's going to dip down into the 70s. It actually says maybe up to 105 and down to 71. And then Tuesday, it's going to be hot again, not nearly as hot. Wednesday and Thursday, cloudy. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They're making it look like rain, so we'll have to look into that a little bit more. All right, I've got today Reverend Michael Dussault. He's been on the show before. You may remember him. He was suggesting something for a national monument. He's I think come to repent of his previous ideas.
Amen.
The Reverend says amen, but. Anyway, what we're talking about today is very interesting. Now, I ran into the Reverend and mentioned to him something about the national exorcism that they're trying in Mexico, and I got a clip of that for you here briefly. Let me go over, though, a few headlines if anything is worthy. And Washington is fearing losing Greece to Moscow. This would be an opportunity for us to come in and help them on their debt, I guess. But Greece has gotten a lot of help from from Germany, from Turkey, from Russia. And so I guess whoever helps them will be in the catbird seat there. All right, so we're finding more and more about the shooting in on the East Coast, and the kid's stepmom said that he was just a lazy nerd until he stumbled across the racist, vitriolic racism on the internet, and that changed him. And they say that the Democrats are turning left, and it's going to be a trip into the far left as they're coming up into this next election. So and there's some, obviously, as always, there's a movement to ban guns. Now, I've got here for you a little bit on the exorcism that was recently done in Mexico, and I asked the Reverend what he thought about it. He actually had a lot to say about it, was very opinionated on it, and I thought, wow, that would be a great show, so I invited him on. Here he is this morning. Now, I've kicked open my Facebook page, and I'm going to start doing that every day, and I've got the text machine is back, and it's better than ever, 805-6180 to text in, 523-1450 to call in. It's your call-in number on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And here's just a little bit on the great exorcism performed on Mexico after drug violence. And this is very recent, folks, just the last week or two. All right, now I've got another clip here. Mexico's exorcists. And this is a little clip from the BBC. Thank you. All right. So anyway, I've got the Reverend Dusso here and talking about the idea of exorcisms of demons and the spiritual response to all this. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning.
And so, folks, let's Reverend, we got to take a break here, but demonology, demons, exorcism, and stuff. When you hear this type of a report coming out of Mexico, what do you think?
It's done a monstrous more harm than it ever does good.
More harm than good. Okay, folks.
That's not my opinion. That's the Bible.
That's not just the Reverend's opinion. It's the Bible, according to him. And so anyway, we're going to get into this issue. And the fact of the matter is, it is something in the Bible. 70% of the people in the United States claim to have a biblical orientation of some kind. So I figured it was time to tackle this issue on the show. And here we go. It is 6:16. This is AM Las Cruces. It's almost 75 degrees outside. On 1450 KOBE, I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180, your text machine is alive and well, 805-6180. We will be right back with the Reverend Dusso on demonology. Good morning, Kelly here, and got the Reverend Dusso with me. We've got a guy that is coming up in the ranks in the golf world, and he's won two majors in a row. And so well done to him. And I'm trying to remember his name. Get on here. Tiger Woods was 16 over.
Wow.
16 over, and he just Jordan Spieth. And he's won two majors in a row. So anyway, when you think of demons, what do you think of, folks? A lot of people, including myself, very skeptical. Not that there couldn't be demons out there, but from what I've heard, you know, some of the stuff sounds pretty sensational. And then you see movies like The Exorcist, which is the theme I'm playing music-wise, but have Reverend Dusso here. And Reverend, just give people, before we dive into this topic of demonology, give them a little bit on your background.
Oh, my background is a high school teacher, social worker, psychotherapist, businessman, real estate broker, done all kind of things till I finally decided that learned that my life's work was to teach the Word of God to people and set them free from the problems they're having in life. Psychology did not work.
You were a trained psychotherapist.
I am, yes.
13 years, right?
Yes. I had my own clinic, and I had a neuropsychiatrist who was my mentor.
And so you went in and tried to help people and found out that pure science was not the answer.
Psychology does not work. It's a Band-Aid in a giant wound.
Okay. All right. When you were doing psychology, Did you ever run into anything that you thought went beyond what you understood? You know, spiritual, devil, you know, this type of thing. What could you give us a little bit on that?
Well, I can tell you that the 95% of everyone in the mental hospital is there because of spiritual oppression. And
what, how do you define spiritual oppression?
Well, there are three levels the devil seeks to control people's bodies because they do not have a body of their own and to control their mind. First, they can be oppressed. That means devils after them trying to tempt them to do evil things. Then if they keep listening to those voices, so to speak, they become obsessed with it. Then they have to listen. They're listening to it all day long.
And they're tormented and they're driven and they're
then
distracted.
You get to
the point
where you are possessed by that, which means now you've lost control. Now, the devil or the demons, the evil spirits that are there, believe me, I've been around the world. half the world anyway.
Yeah. Now, M. Scott Peck, the very famous psychologist who wrote The Road Less Traveled, also wrote a book on demonology, or at least these type of matters. And I'm trying to remember the name of it, but he was convinced that there were, that he had had, I think, dabbled in all the religions and eventually ended up becoming a Christian. But he was convinced that there was demonic activity in the lives of many of his patients.
Well, Jesus, one of the main things he did was deliver people from evil spirits,
yeah,
demons and evil spirits.
But also, it's kind of a sensational topic. So people are skeptical, of course, especially in this day of science, when our only answer to psychiatric problems is medicine or drugs. Let me ask you this. How did you go from being a scientifically minded psychologist to a spiritually minded reverend?
Raised as a Roman Catholic, I was taught right from wrong. My mother always instilled in me that truth, you should always be looking for truth in your life. And I thought I had found truth when I was the psychotherapist, because it was the strongest force that I had come across and studied yet. But then I found out that my percent of success in psychotherapy was 2 to 3%, which was not acceptable to me. After doing it for 11 years, I said, there has to be more. There has to be absolute truth somewhere. This is not absolute.
And about what time did you start investigating spiritual stuff?
Before I went to Bible college. The Holy Spirit made it clear to me that I would have to be doing deliverance in my ministry, that I better learn about it before I went to Bible college, and I did. In Bible school, I had a deliverance ministry in our apartment because the church, my pastor, did not want to mess with deliverance in his church. So I asked him if I could do some. He allowed me to do it. Then it became a very large ministry. Everyone who could not get delivered elsewhere came running to our apartment for deliverance. And, of course, I needed, when we went to Africa after our graduation from Bible college, it was absolutely necessary because the evil spirits there and the demons there have a tremendous stronghold on the uneducated African.
All right, so you're saying that when you traveled through Africa, you saw a lot of demonic activity.
Oh, yes.
Now, some people will say that's kind of insulting to the Africans. What would your response be?
You can find demons in your kitchen. You can find demons everywhere in any culture in the world. Demons are universal. They live in the atmosphere above. Okay, they're not in heaven. They're not in hell. They're in the atmosphere. They don't go to hell until after the tribulation. They get cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You can find them everywhere. Well, the truth of the matter is, you can have demons floating around your office right here. They're spirit beings. They're not physical. You can't see them. You can see the result of them, just like electricity. You can't see electricity, but you can certainly see the result of it. The result of demonology and their work is that people are sick, demented, losing their mind, murdering, taking guns. Look at all these murders that are going on. Look at all those beheading by ISIS. That's all demonology. That's all the devil operating through people. That's what that is.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So when you heard that there was going to be a national exorcism, which is what I brought up to you when I ran into you in the restaurant, I wanted to get your take on it. And bearing in mind we've done some shows before on spiritual issues, your response to hearing that the Catholic Church was doing a national exorcism, what was your response to that?
I will not give my opinions on this program. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, all right? Because the Bible is the absolute truth of life. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 24, it says this: when the unclean spirit, that's a demon, goes out of a man, it passes through dry places seeking rest, and not finding any, it says, I will return to my house, which is the body that they inhabited before, from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. That means it's empty of spiritual knowledge or information about demonology. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. You cannot go run around. See, any Christian can cast evil spirits out. Mark 16:17 says, believers will cast out demons. Believers will cast out spirits. But once you cast them out, what happens is what I just read. If you don't fill that house with the Holy Spirit, if you don't put that person into a program of learning about the Word of God and the power of God that he or she has, then it's open season. Here comes seven more. What happens if you cast 10 spirits out of a person? I mean, the demoniac running around the tombs had a legion. That's 843. Well, 840 times 7 is a number I couldn't multiply in my head. But that's the last state of that person. It is absolutely wrong. You do not mess around with demonology unless you know what you're doing. A national exorcism is a catastrophe.
A national exorcism is a catastrophe. Are you saying, in your opinion, because so many demons would be released?
No, because so many are. If that person is not trained on how to control the evil spirit world, those demons are not stupid. They come back and they make it worse, because that's what the Word of God tells us. And therefore, they need a program of what's my authority as a believer, as a Christian? What do I have authority over every evil spirit? You sure do, even over Lucifer himself, who is their chief general. Okay, you have the authority over the devil himself. But don't clean out the house without filling it with the Holy Spirit of God and knowledge of how to keep them away from you and your children. Because you can have a family curse, which will go from generation to generation. And then now you better get somebody who knows what they're doing to stop that family curse.
Uh-oh. Sounds serious.
This is not a game.
This is AM Las Cruces. You're listening to on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 is the number to call in. And we've got Reverend Dussault talking about exorcism and the very recent claim by the Catholic Church that they did a national exorcism, and the Reverend is saying, not so fast, that's very dangerous. It is 6:31, about 75 degrees today. It's going to be a high of up to 105. We'll be right back. Oh, and we do have a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Chris.
Chris, thank you for calling in. I hope you're doing well. Sounds like you might be driving, but what's going on?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of weigh in on your demonology show here, and I appreciate you taking different topics and really kind of delving into them. I want to let you know that I appreciate you not just being you're willing to go into something like this.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
I guess what I want to say is this, is that when you're dealing with the subject of demonology, it's a very, very, very rare occurrence that people become demon-possessed. This is something that is, and that's probably why it's looked at on the fringe.
Yeah.
But many times when you're talking about the devil, you are actually let me put it this way: the word angel in the Greek is angelos,
mm-hmm.
and specific means messenger.
Okay.
So if you got somebody that is, you know, just blowing smoke, telling things that are not true, lies, false doctrine, whatever. They would be considered a devil because they are a messenger, but they are a messenger of untruth. So sometimes the Bible speaks of devils. In fact, Jesus turned around and said to the Jews one time, "You are of your father, the devil." So he was calling them devils. And, you know, all through your epistles also, they referred to devils as people who were speaking against the gospel and saying, oh, Jesus was not the Christ, and et cetera, et cetera. So when you're dealing with demonology, sometimes you're going to quote scripture that has to do with individuals that are speaking or preaching a false concept. But the other times, and this is the rarity is when you're dealing with a spirit, an evil spirit, a demon, blah, blah, blah.
Chris, let me get a little response here from the Reverend.
Okay.
Chris, thanks for your question. I'm glad you have an open mind to try to receive information. I've spent 30 years in the ministry, and during that time, I have been delivering people from evil spirits. It is not our clergy. Granted, possession is the last stage of oppression, obsession, and possession, but I have seen it all over the world. I've been in some 48 different countries, and I can tell you, the devil does not want you to understand how he operates so that he can continue. And all those demons, the angels that fell with him when he rebelled against God, one third of all the angelic forces came with Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven. It is in your city. It may spirits live in the atmosphere, live in the air. You can't see them. But believe me, it is so worldwide and so powerful that we are living in the last days of the church age, and demonic activity is being ramped up at least 100%.
Holy cow. So, Chris, let me ask you this. When this topic comes up, you want people to know that it's very rare, and it's mostly when people are dealing with someone who's difficult or a weird situation, it's not a demon, it's just something else?
Well, it's very rare that there is demon possession. I agree there is demon possession, but it's there are not devils under every bed. The concept that the devil is strong and he's everywhere and he's going to cause all these terrible things and bring an end to the world and it misses the point that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And so, yes, in instances, and yes, in fact, I have been involved in instances where I have seen a manifestation of an evil spirit, physically seen it take place. And so I don't want to take away from the Reverend's concept there, but the concept that there's devils under every bed, I just don't go there. Just give you an example. The Reverend was talking about casting out a devil and seven worse devils come back and take his place, right?
Chris, hold on a second. I need to take a break here. I'm way over my time. Can I put you on hold? Because it sounds like you're kind of getting wound up on this topic. Hold on just a second. We'll be back. Folks, Kelly O'Connell here, and we've got a sensational topic today. It is demon possession. And I'll be totally honest with you, as on everything else, I'm a skeptic, but I'm open-minded. And that's how I think you got to approach these things. And personally, I just think it's an interesting topic. And I thought when the Rev and I were discussing it, it struck me as fascinating because it's happening right next door. And, anyway, 637, this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell here, 523-1450 to call in. If you've had an experience that you think was demonic or somebody else did, feel free to call in. Or if you have a strong opinion, either way, call in. There's a lot of people out there that think this is all hogwash, but keeping an open mind here, and we will be right back. Kelly here, and got the rep. We're talking about demonology. That is the study of demons, which includes the study of demons also includes exorcisms. And 70% of the people in this country are claimed to be Christians. I don't know what percent believe in demons, but we got Chris on the line. Chris has a different opinion. He thinks that there is not a demon under every bed. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, to take the Reverend's quote from when the devil is cast out, seven other demons come back, and the last day of the man is worse than the first. I had a professor one time told me a text taken out of context is a pretext. And if you'll read that passage in text, This is Jesus talking about how that the children of Israel, if a truth came and displaced a false truth, a something a devil is proclaiming a false teacher, a false messenger, Angelos, then what happens is if a falsehood is dislodged, place it with truth, then he gets all of this other stuff back.
Chris, let's not agonize over this. Let's cut right to the chase. What you're claiming is, as far as I can tell, is maybe a more humanistic understanding of this text. You're saying that basically these demons are really bad beliefs.
I don't want to take away from the fact that he is a true messenger.
All right, we'll pull the mic down on him just so I can make my point. That Jesus is the demons are bad beliefs. The bad beliefs and bad theology, it's not really demons. So this is a humanistic take on this passage. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, 90% is bad beliefs. The minority, the very rarity is when you get into demon possession and that kind of a thing. Because if there's a demon under bed, then every church service should be everybody vomiting and writhing on the floor all the time because of all the demons all over the place.
Well,
and that's just not true.
Reverend, go ahead. You're shaking your head.
Chris, I have to ask you, what is your education in demonology? Have you been to Bible college? Have you studied demonology? And what's your education?
I have been to several theological studies, several theological schools. So, I'm about probably 25 years of study.
Well, that ain't nothing to sneeze at. Let me ask you one thing here, Chris. Do you think that the view of the modern church is that demonology yesterday is the psychiatric issues of today? It was just because they didn't understand?
No, not at all. I agree with the Reverend. Psychology is putting a Band-Aid on a cancer.
Ouch.
Well, have you ever been involved in a deliverance, Chris?
Yes, I have. And like I said, it's something that I have been involved in. I don't want to take away from a cure. But what I do want to say is that not every instance, not every issue, it's a devil.
Well, obviously that's true. Well, let me ask you this, Chris. When you hear about the nation of Mexico, that the Catholic Church stands up and says, you know what, we're going to have a service here, we're going to throw all of these demons out of this country, or we're going to do a service attempting to do that, what's your response?
My response is exactly as the Reverend. It causes more problem than it does solve anything.
Okay. Chris, I appreciate your opinion. My experience and my knowledge from Bible college and out in the world for 30 years and in 47 different countries tells me that there may not be a devil behind every bush or under every bed, but what you're looking for, if psychology doesn't work, and I have 11 years as a psychotherapist with a degree in psychology, I can tell you that the devil wants people to think the way you are thinking. Therefore, he can operate without being directly attacked, and he can do what he wishes to do, which is try to destroy God's creation, which is mankind. And we are looking at the time of evil, which is the end days of the church age, and you're going to see more and more demonology happening. What do you think ISIS is? What do you think all these shootings and murders are? This is the devil operating through people.
Oh, absolutely. Now, see, you and I are agreeing here, but what I'm going to tell you is that I don't think that ISIS people are possessed with the devil. I think they have a false concept. They really do believe they're doing righteously. They really do believe
that. Chris, let me ask you something. You see Chairman Mao, you see Joseph Stalin, you see Adolf Hitler. These guys are a world-class considered to be world-class evil doers. Are these people driven possessed, driven by demons, or do they just have a bad idea?
Well, that's where the Reverend and I agree, is that once they start down the road, then they're going to start getting involved in truly spiritual demonization of their life. But it begins with this lie, this falsehood, this bad idea, and then they become so evil that, yes, it becomes a spiritual matter.
Well, Chris, I appreciate the call. We have got to go, but very interesting. Folks, we've got to take a break here. Wonderful call from Chris. I'm a skeptic, but I'm listening. And most people in this country claim to be Christians. That means they claim to follow the Bible. The Bible clearly teaches demons. But this country and pretty much the West, it's all psychiatric. If somebody has a problem, it's a psychiatric issue that's taken care of with drugs. What if a large percentage or some percentage of these actually had a spiritual obsession or depression as the Reverend was saying? Anyway, this is, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. If you've had an experience, don't be shy, be generous, share it with the rest of us. We'll be right back. We're here with the Reverend Dussault. I asked him an innocent question the other day when I ran into him, and as I'd stopped and had a bite to eat with him and his lovely wife, and it started a very intense conversation about what was going on in Mexico. And here's the thing, folks. You go from the United States to Mexico, and especially years ago, but even up to this point, there's an immediate change in the atmosphere, in the culture. What causes it? I mean, it's only, you could go a few miles from the United States into Mexico and find yourself in a lot of trouble. What is the difference? What causes this? According to the Catholic Church, it is the result of demons. And Reverend, and satanic activity, do you accept the Catholic Church's analysis of what's wrong in Mexico in terms of the crime and the drug cartels and everything?
Yes, they're absolutely right. The demons' desire is to take down and destroy anything that God has created, which is his highest creation, the human race. The devil knows that he only has a short time before he's thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone for all eternity. Therefore, he's ramping up the angels that fell with him. Those who these demons are, all right? And he's sending them out to do as much damage as possible before his time is over, because his time is going to be over very quickly.
So you think it's the end days, as the Christians talk about?
The last hours of the last day.
The last hours of the last day. All right, what if somebody else comes along and says the problem in Mexico has nothing to do with demons, it's just that they never established, for example, a rule of law. They never had two political parties that balanced one another. They don't have a separation of powers, this type of thing. That's what happened over there. What would your response be?
I would say that's the result, not the cause. The result of the demon's activity is, look at the devil. The devil rebelled against the law of God. Therefore, let's rebel against the laws of the country. One is a mirror of the other. The cause are demons. The effect is the problem that you have in the country of crime, drugs. By the way, pharmakia is the Greek word for drugs, and it's all through the Bible.
And we do have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Richard again, Kelly.
Richard, thank you. And what's on your mind?
Well, I'm kind of surprised you're skeptical. I thought you were a born-again Christian.
I am a believer, but I'm always skeptical when somebody brings me information. I want to think about it. And, here's the thing. This is my opinion. If you heard it in that clip from that guy, or the clip on the Mexican exorcist, the guy says, we want to make sure these people are taken to a psychiatrist before we do an exorcism. And yet they said on the clip that they didn't notice any psychiatrist being involved. My thing is, be skeptical. Whenever you're told information, be skeptical. That's my approach.
All right. Well, I agree with that. But I think you should take a walk with me, and I'll show you the demons that are coming across from Mexico.
Holy cow.
You talk about cartels. They are rampant here, and they are trying to take over. From what I can understand, they've got control of El Paso, and they are trying to take control of Las Cruces.
Richard, let me put you on hold. I got to go to it. Can you hold for just a second?
Sure.
All right. Folks, I've got to take a little break here. We got behind on our breaks, but I want to get in more into this claim by Richard that the cartels are taking over. We will be right back. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450. We'll be right back. Richard, we're coming on that right now.
Okay.
AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell.
It's Kelly, of course, and
KOBE. There's no better place to be.
Got Reverend Dussault here. We just got a couple of minutes, just really 1 minute. Richard, I wanted to just tap into your statement. They're taking over. Are you saying the cartels are taking over Las Cruces and they're demonic?
Well, yes. I remember when Bob Jensen was on and I said, Las Cruces, Bob needs your help.
Yeah.
They have basically taken over the Gospel Rescue Mission. They are all over the Community of Hope across the street.
Really?
Richard, specifics. Okay,
you want specifics. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Materialistic example is I'm homeless. I don't have a job. I depend on these places for my meals. Well, I am down to one meal now. I can only have lunch. And I am passively being attacked over there at the one meal I have left at the Community of Hope. I can no longer step on the property until I talk with someone there at the Gospel Rescue Mission. And when I try to go talk to him, he's never there.
Oh.
Like I said, in order to believe me, you have to come with me every day.
Well, that sounds interesting. Richard, we are literally running out of time till the machine kicks in automatically. Can you call back in the next hour in, say, five minutes?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, folks, this is a hot topic. We have Reverend Dussault here who's folks, when I say I'm skeptical, there's a huge body of science that's been created to explain mental problems through material means. There's a material problem with your brain. It's treated by drugs. A lot of people don't agree with that. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We're going to pick it up again, demonology, in the next hour. Good morning, it's Kelly here, and we're talking about demons, and we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who is this?
This is Richard.
Hey, Richard. Okay, so specifically, and Reverend Dussault and I were talking off the air, what is your specific experience? Why do you say something is demonic as opposed to just somebody being a jackass?
Because it's organized and concerted. How do you tell if someone is possessed and functioning?
I don't know. That's why I brought Reverend Dussault on here. When you run into somebody and you think they're possessed, what is, in your opinion, the giveaway?
Well, I'm only saying possessed because that's the topic of the show. I hesitate to say possessed because pictures of The Exorcist come to mind. Hollywood intervenes. There's more to possession than gnashing of the teeth and rolling of the eyes. When you serve the works of Satan, does that make you possessed? I mean, Reverend?
You know, there are three stages before you get to be possessed. You have to be oppressed. That's when he's trying to get you to sin and do bad things. Then you become obsessed with that oppression. It's in your mind all during the day. And then if you don't get rid of it then, if you don't find someone who can deliver you from this obsession of thinking about the devil and evil spirits and all that, which are true, by the way, then you can wind up in a state of possession. Okay? On possession, not everyone who was oppressed of the devil or obsessed with the devil is possessed. But the point is, you can't get to that point where you lose control over your mind. There have been Christians who were born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-reading ministers who wound up in an insane asylum because they did not know how to stop the devil and the evil spirits from troubling them, okay? And they wound up completely insane in a mental hospital. Now, this particular one I'm thinking of was set free from a good deliverance. But deliverance needs to be taught to the public because they have the power themselves to get rid of these spirits. You don't need a theologian. You don't need a deliverance man, okay? But you need someone that needs to be taught by the pastors and by the teachers of the Bible. You have the authority. Read Mark 16:17. Believers will cast out demons. Just a believer. You don't have to have gone to Bible college. You don't have to have studied demonology. You just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command evil spirits, come out of this person now. And they must come. They must come. Because Jesus in you has the authority over every single evil spirit in the world, including Lucifer himself.
Richard, let me ask you something here. Have you ever heard any of these people that have given you a hard time say anything about Satan, anything about anything negative spiritually or anything?
No, I go by the tattoos on their body, the different signs that they display that way. I encountered one at Young Park yesterday, practically attacked me. I was ready to defend my life. But he was wearing certain tattoos. He was wearing a death's head. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And when you're attacked, that doesn't come from God. All I asked them was to drink their alcohol somewhere else and not at the Young Park where there was going to be music in the park shortly.
I got you. You're claiming, though, that the Satanists are going to take over Las Cruces. They've taken El Paso. Is that what you were saying, or is it the cartel?
Well, no. This is just a microcosm. This is globally. I mean, this is worldwide.
But you specifically said they've taken over El Paso and they're coming here. What are you referring to?
I'm referring to I say cartel, but it goes higher than that. Obviously, the cartel is under Satan's thumb, one of Satan's instruments, I should say.
But you're saying the cartel has taken over El Paso and is on the verge of taking over Las Cruces. How do you think they're going to take it over?
Well, I don't understand why they are concentrating on the homeless areas. I know there's a lot of donations.
Be specific in your description here so people can understand what you're talking about. How are they focusing on the homeless?
Well, they're not. Basically, they're focusing on the homeless institutions. I like to believe that they are using the resources that the good people of Las Cruces are providing to these two places to establish a foothold.
But how? People are not going to have any belief in what you're saying unless you describe how they're doing it.
It's very hard to describe. Like I said, take a walk with me every day. You don't even have to walk next to me. Just observe.
Okay. All right, Richard. Thanks for the call, and hope you have a good day, and stay safe out there. Anyway, what's your thoughts, Reverend?
My thought is that I'd like to meet with this man. I believe there's something going on with his spirit that needs to be cleansed.
And we do have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly Connor Show. Who's this?
Virginia.
Virginia, thank you. I hope you're doing well. And what's up?
Well, you were asking for a specific example of you know, an occasion. When I was a little girl, and my earliest memories in life are about when I was about 3 years old, and from the time I was that age, I had a conscious level of knowing that there was a God, that I had a Father in heaven that loved me. And so I have to start my conversation with that knowledge, knowing that our Father does live. And when I was about 5 years old, my mother became very ill. Later on, I was told that she'd had a nervous breakdown. But I had one occasion, one night when I slept in her bed, because I wanted to be close to my mother. I used to stir for my mother. And that particular night, I spent the whole night fighting a little demon that I knew he was coming to take my mother away.
Explain to people how you knew that you were getting attacked or your mother was getting attacked by a demon.
Because I saw it.
What did it look like?
Well, you know, you're typical what people think of as a demon. It was a little figure that had horns. He was mostly black and red in color. He had cloven feet. He had a little tail, and he carried a little pitchfork.
Okay.
Now, as a little...
Virginia, people are going to hear this and think that you're imagining it, because why would a real demon look like a cartoon?
Well, and that is a valid point, because, and this is what I was wanting to say, because I was a child, and I'm now, I'm 65 years old, we didn't have the television, we didn't have all these outside influences that would create this image in my mind, other than this is what appeared to me, and that I believe that I saw that night. Years later, and here's the whole thing, I felt fear. I was so frightened. It was something real that took over me. Now, years later, my mother relayed to me, she said one night that if it hadn't have been for me, she would have died. And she relayed to me that she was saying that she felt like she was on her way to dying, but I kept calling her back. I kept calling her back, and she tried to play hide and go seek with me so that she could leave. But in the end, she did not die. So I connected those two experiences now to what the reverend that you have on your program today. I have to agree with him, because in Mexico, and I have to let you know my mother is from Mexico, they believe in witchcraft. They believe in Santeria. And you have to have an open conduit to allow these spirits to come in.
Reverend?
Well, I believe you had a definite experience, an encounter with an evil spirit, because if, let me ask you a question, please. Did your mother, was she ever involved in tarot card reading or seances or palm reading or any of the other things that are trying to discern the sex of an unborn child? Was there any of that stuff going on in your house or anywhere that you are aware of?
Yes, exactly. And these are the things that I ran away from as I was growing up. I began to realize that this is the conduit. So when Richard calls in and he says, these people that are involved in the cartels, well, drugs, these are the things that take away people's ability to be in possession of their correct faculties.
Excuse me, dear, can you tell me exactly what experience, what things your mother was involved with? What did she do?
She would go visit a bruja, a brujería, and so, you know, they would have these cleansings with the eggs, with the herbs, you know, the washings and stuff like that, and reading of the cards.
The wet cards.
Tarot cards. Yeah, that's
Reverend, you had said that these type of things open the door to the spiritual and the demonic especially. How does that work?
Well, when you're in his territory, okay, you are putting yourself at risk, because the devil, Lucifer, is the small god of this world. When you go, if you go to these seances, or, you know, in this city, there's that business where they'll supposedly tell you your future. That's demonic. Okay, you walk into that building, you're in the devil's territory. He then has the right to come and attack you, and also members of your family.
Even a little kid.
Absolutely. Oh, he loves to get the little innocent one.
Virginia, anything else about the story you want people to know?
Well, I think precisely that, because I was an innocent child, that is why I was the thing that protected my mother. It was innocence. It was clean. It was pure. It was love.
I see.
Well, I credit you with standing up against those spirits. You have the authority as a Christian to stand against any spirit and to defeat them and send them packing in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for the call, Virginia. Have a good day. Interesting call, folks. All right, so let's take – well, we got another call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Chris, yeah. Let me put you on hold and bring you back after we take a little break. I don't want to get behind again.
Sure.
Thanks. All right, folks. Chris, who admits that he's studied the Bible for 25 years, has a couple of divinity degrees, is coming back to – this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOB. It's Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. We will be right back with the Reverend Dussault. And the topic, demonology. I am skeptical of the stories I hear, but I'm open-minded, and we'll be right back.
I never heard him say he has any divinity degrees.
What's that?
I didn't hear him say any degrees, any divinity degrees.
He said he'd been to two different divinity schools.
Okay, I thought he said seminars or something like that.
Seminaries.
Well, he could have been. On the other hand, did they teach demonology? Did they teach the truth? Or were they a divinity? No, there are divinity schools that are just humbug, bunk, that teach the wrong stuff. And obviously, he's a left, far left liberal who's trying to intellectualize.
Well,
I'll be glad to. He is a typical intellectual, okay, trying to play down and water down what's going on. Yeah, we'll see. That's about as foolish as saying that someone who is teaching English isn't teaching it right. You're still teaching English, okay? Rationalization is a devil's tool. You know what you do when you rationalize? You tell rational hyphen lies. Rational lies is rationalizing. And he's just coming from a Yeah.
Call him out.
I will. I want to know what the divinity schools he went to. What's the denomination? Okay. On top of which, okay, you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. Okay. I would suggest that you and I need to meet. Because if he's spreading that kind of garbage around, he's responsible for anybody who believes what he says. And the Word of God says, okay, let not many of you become teachers. That doesn't mean just in the classroom. That means trying to convince somebody of something you believe, which is wrong. Because you will incur restricted judgment when you stand before the throne of God. Demonology is not intellectual. It's spiritual.
It's Kelly here, and I've got a text from Kathy. And believe it or not, Kathy says, sorry, Kelly, just don't buy it. Good and evil is in everyone. No disembodied demon enters us. We create good or evil from within. We are not controlled by outside forces, sorry, but I simply don't believe in this stuff that the Reverend Dussault is speaking of, although I do believe he is a good man with good intentions, Kathy. Kathy, might want to open your mind up a little bit. And we have Chris online, speaking of which. Chris, now go ahead. What was your point? Here's Chris with round two. Chris, let me ask you something.
This is a different Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No problem. No, this is a different Chris. I called last Friday.
Yeah, I remember.
But, I have I just a couple of points I wanted to point out here. I'm a licensed independent counselor. I've been in the field for like 20 or so years. And I definitely agree with the Reverend. And that, you know, all these theories, you know, all the stuff that you learn in school, and when you try and implement these practices and everything, it just really isn't quite hitting the spot. You know, it has to go to that next level. And so when you come across, like, you know, these realms of, you know, and I've heard the same thing. I am Catholic, and the priests, they do talk about those three levels. When you start practicing sin, when you start doing these things, you start going into the realms of, you know, you start putting on those chains, you start putting on, like, you know, you become repressed and you become obsessed. And, you know, and I'm just going there and you start becoming depressed as well.
Well, Chris, let me ask you something. Are you saying in your work as a psychologist, you've found that the theories of psychology really don't add up when you're trying to help people?
To some degree, they do. It's just not hitting that spot. I mean, I don't know if it's like bad practice today from the other therapists. Or what, but it just seems like that from my experience and my own personal experience that it just isn't enough because a large percentage of the clientele that I work with, they do have a Christian background. They have a Christian, Catholic, you know, some type of background to where it can be worked with. And then when you explore that with them, you know, they're not practicing it.
Reverend.
Well, that's what we recall. I mean, people need to have the guts and the courage to stand up and say, listen, there is a spirit world. We live in three worlds, spiritual, physical, mental. Okay? And people are not, if they are not taught what's going on in the spirit world, and it's all around us, they are easy picking for these demons and evil spirits. Okay. Now, I have worked in mental hospitals when I was doing my undergraduate work. I've been in 46 different countries. I have cast demons out of people in every single one of these countries. I have churches I started in Africa and in Russia. And believe me, my experience tells me that it's getting worse and worse because people are intellectualizing, theorizing, liberalizing what's going on because they don't want to face the truth. They themselves are under demonic attack, and therefore they don't want to face it. Why? It's not being taught. It's not made public, and people are getting cut down left and right, and they don't know what to do. That's why we're on this program trying to tell them, listen, you Christian have the authority. Mark 16:17 says believers will cast out demons. But before you do that, you've got to have a program to tell people how to stay free because, you know, Luke 11:24, you can't kick out one. You don't get them born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You don't teach them how to stay free, but their power is. You get seven spirits worse coming back. Now the poor guy who had once got eight.
Yeah, I got a tough question for you, Chris. I know you're working in a secular setting, but would you ever consider, based on the conclusions that you've come to yourself in going and getting a little training on spiritual repression or demon issues or anything that might add to your understanding or treatment? I'm asking this not that you would do it out in the open, because obviously if you're working in a secular setting, people would that would cause an outrage. But if you yourself have come to the conclusion that there's more going on than psychology can explain, have you thought of taking it further?
Yes, I have. And you're right on. I mean, I work for the state of New Mexico, and when they find out that you cannot impose your religious belief on them.
Of course.
But there are ways to where I hate to say it, kind of like where you can manipulate. You can draw upon their faith. You know, how are you practicing it? What are you doing? How do you get outside of yourself? You know, what kind of vices are you struggling with? So, and what are you doing to, you know, in other words, like, the way I see it is, you know, another thing that I was talking about, like, homeless and everything, when people get into those realms of where their basic needs and all that stuff, they're not being met. And, I mean, it draws, like, weakness. And where people can start getting so focused on trying to meet those needs, and then they can go about it meeting those needs in the wrong way.
Very true.
Also,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we got to take a break. So did you want to finish your thought?
Yeah, just one more thing before I go, because I got to go to work. What they have found in Mexico, and this is something they were talking about, like the practices, they have been finding an idol down there that they are worshiping, and which is the Santa Muerta.
It's the representative of death, right?
Yes.
Day of the Dead.
I mean, they are practicing that stuff.
And what do you know about the practice? What do they do?
I don't know specifically what they'll do, but they'll do kind of like ritual offerings. They found altars. They do sacrifices. Some do, some don't. What they'll do is they'll try and get like favoritism from this idol or from this spirit to where they can overcome their enemies and to gain wealth, to gain power.
Interesting. It kind of reminds me of living in Miami with Santeria and the other things going on down there. Voodoo. Thanks a lot for the call, Chris. Have a great day. Hang in there in your state job that doesn't allow any deviation.
And okay, thank you.
Have a demon-free day. Thank you. All right, so Reverend Dussault, what's your reaction?
My reaction, I want to say right now to everyone listening to this program, if anyone is having any kind of a problem that appears to be psychological or mental depression, I am available free to meet with anyone.
What's your phone number?
575-635-7406.
One more time.
575-635-7406. I will go to churches. I will go to schools. You can get a group together and we'll have a seminar. I want people to know their authority over the evil spirit world.
I'm starting to remind me of Ghostbusters here.
Pardon?
You don't show up in a suit, do you, with a spiritual vacuum?
No, I show up like a regular guy, but I've got the Bible in my hand and I'm going to show them what Jesus said about demonology.
Folks, I am personally skeptical, but I've got an open mind and I find the topic fascinating. We're going to come back and find out some of the individual experiences that the Reverend has had that led him to believe that there are demons out there and what he did about it when he ran into those. By the way, I keep getting texts from people and calls that the number of our show is going to La Frontera. I apologize. Takashi has tried to call in and some other people have tried to call in. And keeps saying that they're getting La Frontera. So keep calling in 523-1450. It is going through occasionally. You've still got your text number if you want your message out there, 805-6180, 805-6180. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We're talking about demons, and we've got another caller. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
It's Kelly? Mike. I'm just checking the phone, Kelly.
Who is? Oh, okay. Thank you.
This one went through.
Well, I got a phone call on Friday, and then I just got a text right now. People saying that they're calling the number and it's going to La Frontera.
Well, I heard you say that. That's why I just called it. Okay. This time it went through.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
right.
Mike.
Bye.
Kelly here, and so the number has occasionally been getting hijacked to La Frontera, which could be a demonic. It could be the demons interfering with the. All right, I got a bunch of text from Takashi. The fact that the prefix D is in the word demon, can they really enter anything based on that? Well, they can. I guess they can enter the Democrat Party. Just kidding. Come on. Anyway, my dad told me a story about waking up in his mama's house in the country, not being able to talk or move or call his mom for help, with tears coming from his eyes, that they had to sprinkle salt over his shoulder and pray to get that whatever it was off. Then my mother told me one time she was meeting my dad because he broke down to give him some help. She said upon approach about a half a mile away that she say a man about 7 feet tall or more. She said it's the tallest man she's ever seen. My dad was standing under the tree fixing that car that broke. She said once she finally pulls up, no tall man. Read my text, please. You know, we do have a phone call here, but Jamaica has also got, you know, these cults there, too. This is Kelly. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you doing today?
Yeah, great. Thanks. How about you? Thanks for calling in, and what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, you're right about that that call being transferred to your firm, because it's happened probably maybe five out of the last six attempts. It keeps going on. I thought I'd get through, though, so thank you.
Yeah, folks, if you're calling in and you get La Frontera, hang up. Well, I guess you could leave a nasty message, but hang up and recall here until you get through. Go ahead, Jim.
Actually, you know, the whole thing about where Satan is or is not, I don't want to be simplistic about this, but it starts in the Garden of Eden. At that particular point, everything that is evil, no matter what form, where it comes from, how it is, who does or doesn't have it, comes from Satan himself. Nothing good comes from Satan. Nothing evil comes from God. When I say God, I'm not talking about the God, the false God that ISIS uses, because to me they're using God's name to accomplish evil things. So I look at it kind of simplistically, you know, maybe that's...
But how does that... Jim, how does that have to do... What does that have to do with demons?
Well, the demons are spiritual. I mean, they enter through... I like when one lady said when she called in about her mother, and the reverend did affirm that you have to have an avenue or a conduit. You have to want this to happen. And when you do that, it will enter you, because the evil force is there. Spiritually speaking, Kelly, if we're Bible believers, we know that it says that the battle is between good and evil, or it's between spirit, and that's where the battle is fought, is in the spiritual world.
Okay, Jim, thanks for the call, and have a good day, Reverend. What do you think about that?
Jim, can I speak with Jim? Are you still listening?
No, he's still listening. But
I just want him to know that any single believer has the authority to cast out spirits, but must teach that person how to stay free. I will mail a 10-point teaching given to me by the Holy Spirit himself when I was doing deliverance in Africa as to what you need to do to teach people how to stay free, because so these spirits don't come back.
Reverend, did you ever offer a delivery in 30 minutes or it's free?
I'll go anywhere to deliver anyone. In the name of Jesus.
All right, within 30 minutes, folks. Okay, let me ask you, how did you get in personally introduced to this topic of demonology? This is not something that you ever hear ministers talking about.
No, let me tell you what happened. After a successful career in psychology, business, education, teaching, and everything, I finally was convinced by God that I should go become a minister, go to Bible college, went to Bible college, started studying. And then a minister came from Africa.
Well, we've got another phone call. Let's just take this real quick. Yeah, this is Kelly. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Takashi here.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, Takashi.
I finally got through to the phantom phone number, man.
Oh, I hope you also got an appointment with the La Frontera while you're at it.
Hey, listen, you know, the fact that the...
Hello? I think he got transferred to La Frontera. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Kelly, I was saying the fact that the Masons, they heavily believe in demons, because I remember there was one myth that Masons, they don't look behind them because of that. They don't turn their necks all the way to look behind them for some reason. I don't know why they do that.
Well, maybe they're afraid the competition might be catching up to them.
And you know how that guy said earlier about families having curses on them?
Yeah.
I mean, our friend Joe Biden, man, this guy has had a string of tragedies as far as his wife and his kids and now his son.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he needs a little bit of that... a little washing off, man.
Yeah, I've never heard him preach the gospel, and he certainly seems to have had a cursed hair transplant, you know?
Oh man, Kelly.
You gotta take a cheap shot occasionally. Takashi, anything else?
Yes. You know, there's a lot of things in this planet that's a little bit above our wavelength as far as spectrum of thought. So it's quite possible demons exist. But as far as confirmation, I'm not really sure.
All right, Takashi. Thank
you. It's quite possible, man. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks for the call. All right, Reverend Dussault. So anyway, as you were telling your story.
Okay, I'll cut it short. Okay. Minister came looking for them to take over his ministry in Africa and Nigeria. My wife and I went to his meeting. There was like six other couples there, and he had been done a lot of deliverance in Africa, and he offered deliverance to anyone, okay? And I knew if I was going to a demon area, I had to be completely clean. So he did a deliverance on me. Then anyone who was there can tell you that I was delivered. Come to find out, I was cursed in the womb. But
how do you know you were cursed in the womb?
Because in the conversation, okay, the devil, okay, my mouth with the devil's voice spoke through me. He is mine. You cannot have him. I cursed him before he was born. Okay, the devil will use your voice, okay, to try to get his message out. Well, the man who was doing deliverance, okay, bound him, forbid him to do that, okay, and then set me free from all the other troubles I had for 48 years before I went to Bible college.
So you believe, who told you you were cursed in the womb?
The devil. The devil himself spoke.
Did anybody in your family ever confirm that you were cursed in the womb, that somebody had, you know, your dad or your grandfather or whoever?
No one in my family, but God showed me the picture that when I was like one and a half years old, when I was in bed with my father and mother, okay, I won't go into the situation, but that was when, okay, the devil was definitely came powerfully into me, and I was from that day on, from one and a half years old, I was a holy terror. I was the renegade. I was the black sheep of the family. I was the kid always getting in trouble, okay? And then hearing my sister, see, when you're being delivered, you can still hear what's going on. But the voice is so demonic, it scared the life out of everybody, okay? And to this day, I can recall exactly that situation. So that was a result of a family curse for my Canadian grandmother, who was involved in tarot cards, seances, reading, palm reading, all that stuff. So that was a family curse, okay? That came from my grandmother to my father, mm-hmm. me, okay? And then, of course, having a second child within 9 months or after the first one during depression, he didn't want the mouth to feed, okay? And so, and I know for a fact, okay, that I was cursed in the womb. Why else was I in a situation at 15 years old that I wanted to take my own life? Because I knew that I was going down the tube, okay? And I was seriously planned my own death, okay? Now, you don't do that unless the devil wants you dead.
We've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly Carlin Show. Who's this?
In the great words of Jimmy McEnroe, you cannot be serious. If I didn't know any better, I think I would be listening to the 700 Club and the goofiness of that.
Well, it could be coast to coast, but Frankie, let me ask you something. There's no God, there's no spirit world, correct?
Absolutely, 100%. Only demons and God exist in the mind of the weak of mind and the people that are scared of things that they'll bump in the night,
all right,
meaning mostly ignorant people.
All right, let me ask you this. So the idea that human beings have a spirit is totally false?
No, you don't have a spirit. I mean, you've got an energy. If you want to put it, you know, I mean, it's everybody, every human, every living creature on this planet is biomechanical, electrical, in construction. So, I mean, you know, you put the EKG on you, that's registering smaller amounts of energy.
Frankie, I think you missed out on your opportunity to be a poet when you were younger. But let me ask you this. The difference between human beings and animals is just what did you call it, biometric chemical?
Bioelectromechanical.
Right. So the philosophy of Aristotle, the science of Newton, the music of Bach, the theology of Martin Luther King. All of these are the result. What was it? Biomechanical?
Bioelectromechanical. Oh, okay.
So anyway, all of this stuff is an illusion. The idea of justice, the Ten Commandments coming off of a mountain, the idea of a Bill of Rights and a rule of law, these are all fictions because there is no difference between men and animals.
No. I'll correct you on one point, then I'll get into that. You know, the Bill of Rights, that is a reality. The stuff coming off the mountain, that's phony baloney, you know, rock and roll nothing, right?
Wait a minute. Frankie, I got to point one thing out. You don't have one without the other. Unless you have some foundation of revealed law in history, you don't get to the Bill of Rights. How do you explain that?
But law is a manifestation of human intervention. Humans, obvious. Come on, Kelly. I mean, this human being, by hook or crook and some phony baloney cosmic ray stuff, just became more smarter, top of the line, food chain, apex
evolution,
person, if you will.
Evolution. Hey, let me ask you this. Did you know that Hitler and was an evolutionist? Where did that?
He was a Christian.
He was a person who misused the Catholic Church for his own ends. He was not a Christian. But let me ask you this: how do you not say that Nazism, with its idea of a more advanced race, was not trying to practice some kind of evolution?
I have no idea. I mean, how did we segue from what I'm talking about, the kookiness of demons and God, into
the reason that you can't answer is you don't have the answers when you're put on the spot, because the hard questions. Seriously, you don't have an answer, but you're ready to bray like a mule at the topic. There's a reason that people believe in this stuff. Now, it may not be true, but there is reasoning. There are things in life that cause people to believe this stuff that are legitimate.
I would agree with you that they believe in it, but I would counter the point that they are that it was legitimate. You know, I mean, it's just nothing but people that are afraid of things that go bump in the night. I mean, it's nothing out there. That's just, I mean, it's insanity. It's because of the weakness of the mind that allows people to go off the deep end and do stupid stuff. Like that kid out there in South Carolina, for an example.
Hey, well, but he's not representing God. You know, he's killing Christians. He's not becoming a Christian. So go ahead, Reverend.
I just have one statement for you, sir. Okay, if you are right, and after you die, no problem. But what if you're wrong, and you are a spirit, you live in a body, you have a mind, sir? You are going to be in a whole whale of trouble if you are wrong about what you're saying.
Not me. I'm not good. No, I'm fabulous, Frankie. Nothing on this planet, nothing
Frankie,
in the afterlife is
Frankie,
going to affect me.
Frankie, do you have afterlife insurance?
Don't need it.
I'll leave. Hey, thanks for the call, Frankie. Great call. Have a
all
good
right,
day.
Bye-bye.
Folks, we've got to take a break here, and we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And the number to call in, 523-1450.
Here's your Las Cruces.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. This is Richard again. the Reverend said I needed to be cleansed. I'm willing to meet with him anywhere, anytime.
Your number one more time for Richard.
575-635-7406.
Why don't you guys set up a meeting right here?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that number again?
635-7406.
7406.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
I'd be willing to meet with you anywhere, anytime.
Richard, what's your number?
My number is 575.
Hold on one second.
31.
Hold on.
Okay.
Five seven five.
312.
Yes.
1927.
575-312-1927. I have it.
Great.
Thanks, Richard.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Now, is he the counselor?
No, he's the guy that's homeless.
The guy who what?
Homeless.
Oh, the homeless guy.
Good show.
Getting the calls.
It's Kelly here. Now, I've just talked to the Reverend and asked him if he wants to come back tomorrow. We barely got into this topic. Got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Rory Kelly. It's Mike.
Yes, Mike. We're running out of time. What's up?
Well, first off, I'd like to ask the Reverend, is the word demon found in the King James Version?
You don't have to depend on the King James Version. You have to know that demon, okay, is a Greek term, diablo, okay, and it's a Latin term, okay, which is also devil, okay. And if you do your etiology, their version of languages, and you know Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew.
Well, it's in there. It's in the original. Mike, what's your point?
Well, I know evil spirits is in there. I was reading Acts 19, and it says it talks about an exorcist that tried to cast out evil spirits,
mm-hmm.
and the evil spirits, they said, we know what Paul preaches, but they said, and we know Jesus.
But we don't know
Paul,
you.
I know, but who are you? Who and are the you? Evil spirits leaped on him.
All right, so what's your point, Mike?
Well, I was just wondering if the Reverend could tell us a little bit more about when you cast out these evil spirits, how they can leap on you.
And Mike also wants to know if evil spirits can be in dogs, I have a feeling. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Yeah. They're...
All right. So anyway, look, folks, we're going to – I asked the Reverend if he wants to do this tomorrow. We're barely scraping the surface. The Reverend did not even get into his experiences in Africa and other countries. So let's do this tomorrow. I'll reassign the people that are coming in tomorrow. I've got Walt. I'll ask Walt if he can come in on Wednesday. But anyway, Reverend, we got about 2 minutes here.
I simply want people to understand that once you are a born again, that means you believe in Jesus Christ paid for your sins. That's what born again is. You have the authority of the devil himself over every evil spirit in the entire universe, and you have to learn how to use your authority or the devil will rack and ruin and give you trouble all your days on earth. His job, according to John chapter 10, verse 10, is to steal, kill, and destroy you. And he's pretty good at his job unless you know you have the power over him, and it's in the Word of God.
Theologians will tell you the battle has already been fought, and Jesus beat the devil. But let me just point out one thing to Frankie. Why is it that you can claim that there's a Bill of Rights that protects everybody? It's the humanistic doctrines in there that protect the world and the Constitution. We find that the law in the Constitution is actually a species of the natural law, and the natural law is based on a foundation of revealed law, or what you have in the Bible is the revelation. So how do you explain that? How do you explain when countries try to get rid of God, they become the worst, they become hell on earth, the USSR and China. So it's not so easy to get rid of the, you can disbelieve, but for you to say that the topic itself is nonsensical and it's idiotic, and anybody who believes in religion or God is a complete bozo, history doesn't agree with that. And we've got one last call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connor Show. You got 10 seconds. 10 seconds.
Kelly, this is Takashi really quick. I just want to say, playing devil's advocate to Frankie, as far as Hitler being against other races and stuff, Christians did the same thing too. In regards to the Bill of Rights and laws, I thought all of that derived from the Magna Carta.
The Magna Carta was put together by Bishop Langton, who was a churchman. He was the head of the Church of England. He wrote it, and he's the same guy that divided the Bible into verses. And he's the one who interpreted and wrote the Magna Carta. That is a Christian document. Bishop Langton, look it up. Have a great day. We'll meet back in 22 hours. Same topic. Ciao.